It is a highly appropriate time to take a moment to thank Ivan and the choir and the handbells. I mean, the beautiful music of the season, Carrie. We're very grateful for the music ministry here and all the folks that have made that happen. A word of thanks to all the families and folks who have helped light the Advent wreath throughout this season. All those who have helped decorate the church and the outside and the lights and the trees. This has been a time of spending the holiday together and sharing many, many gifts, and I am grateful. So sincere thanks. I don't know about you, but it always seems hardest to wait right before something happens. You know, at the beginning of the waiting process, when things are further away, it doesn't seem as real, it doesn't seem as urgent, it's a little further out there. But then as it gets closer and closer, right as it's almost here, I find it the hardest time to wait for anything. I don't know, maybe I just have a certain amount of energy to wait. And I've spent it all by the time we reach the end of the waiting time. But the closer things get, the more I just want to hop right into them, even though we may not be there yet. All of this is a fancy way of saying Happy Advent. December 23rd. It's so tempting. It's so easy to slip right into Christmas. But we're not there yet. And so, we wait. We anticipate. We hope. As the light of Bethlehem grows brighter, the light of Advent is at its brightest. For now, there are four candles burning, and we bask in the glow of the light of hope, the light of peace, the light of joy, and the light of love. For these are the gifts of Advent and Christmas that we are invited to carry in our hearts. See, we're given this hope and peace and love and joy, not just that we might have them, but that we might be these things. As we prepare ourselves for Christmas, we are given the gift of being hopeful, of being peaceful and being joyful. And today, we reflect on the gift of love and what it means to be loved, to be loving. And most importantly, what it means to be in the presence of love. See, as we celebrate the story of Bethlehem, it's important to remember that the arrival of Jesus into the world is an act of love on God's part. There's this little scripture. It's in the third chapter of John. I think it's the 16th verse or so. Maybe you've heard of it. For God so loved the world that God sent his only begotten Son. You see, as we prepare to receive the gift of Christmas, this is a moment to remember why it was given. Now, there are a lot of reasons God sends Jesus. Jesus will show us how to live. Jesus will teach us. He'll heal us. He'll encourage us. He'll challenge us. Well, he'll challenge everything. Jesus will do and be so many things, all of which God sends him to do and be, because God loves us. That is that simple phrase that cannot be said enough. We can be so good about saying it to children, and somehow we forget to say it to each other. God loves you. It's a foundational part of Advent and the Christmas story. God loves you. God loves me. God loves the world. And so today you are invited to be loved. We are also invited to respond to that love by sharing it. We're invited to be loving people. And I tell you, we will spend a good part of the rest of the year to come talking about how we respond to that love. What we're called to do as God's people, and how we can live out and live into God's love. We will spend lots of time talking about responding to that love, but I don't want to rush into that. I want us to wait here for a moment. And just be in the presence of love. Now that can be a hard thing to do. It's funny that I should say just being can be a hard thing to do. We are talking about being. And there's a difference between doing and being. Some of you, maybe more enlightened, may have a clear understanding of how those two things are different. I don't know about you, I'm working on it still. I'm a firm believer that we all need therapy, and so I see a counselor on a regular basis. One of the things I do to just make sure I'm okay, And during seminary, I was working with the counselor they had at ILF, and we were going through some professional, personal development kind of things, and I was talking about lots of different things, and she said, "This is great, Brad. You seem really good about doing things. You're a very good doer, but what I'd like to have you work on, it's my request that you spend 5 minutes a day just being." I thought about it, and I looked at her and said, "Okay, how do I do that?" The irony was lost on me in that moment. But what a time of year to talk about this. Haven't we been doing so much? We got to pack if we're leaving. We've got to clean the house if we've got company coming. We've got to fix these things up. We've got to take care of that. We've got to go to the mall. We've got to, you know, the stuff you've been doing. We've been doing and doing and doing. You know, there's something about being that can get lost in the midst of all of the doing. The expectation that we speak of in Advent, the birth of a child on a silent night, the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. It's a moment that we're not invited to do anything. It's a moment when we are invited to be. We're invited to just be in the moment of Christmas. We have done what is needed to be done. And now we are invited to simply be in the divine presence of love this Christmas. We've already done one of the most important parts of being in the presence of love, as we are here together. Christmas is a time to come together. In fact, the majority of the Christmas story is about people coming together. Or should I say, the majority of the Christmas story is about people being together. I mean, think about it. There are a lot of people gathering together in the Christmas story. Oh, tomorrow night we're going to hear about the angels. And we're going to hear about the shepherds and the hills. And how. And then we're going to hear Epiphany, the Magi show up. And all the... Wait a minute, I'm doing it. I've rushed into Christmas. We're going to tell that story soon. You know, even the Advent story tells us of people being together. The Advent story is the story that gets us to that moment. And there is one last Advent story I want to share with you today. The opening of the Gospel of Luke tells of the expectation of two births. The birth of John the Baptist to his mother Elizabeth, and the birth of Jesus to his mother Mary. Now Zechariah and Joseph, the guys in these stories, they're in there too. But Zechariah loses his ability to talk, and Joseph doesn't say a word in the entire Bible. So we're just going to talk more about Mary and Elizabeth this morning. Elizabeth is already pregnant with a person who will become John the Baptist. And Mary is pregnant with Jesus. I mean, you hear about those showbiz families? I mean, this family's got their own business going on here. I mean, John the Baptist and Jesus. A lot going on in that family tree. But here the story as Luke tells it. Mary got up. This is right after she finds out she's going to be expecting a baby. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped with joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a very loud voice, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of my Lord should come to be with me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises made to her." And then Mary speaks the beautiful words that have become known as Magnificat. As she praises God's faithfulness and thinks about all that this boy will mean, she begins with the words, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord." And following Magnificat is this tiny little verse that often gets overlooked. A lot of times sermons on the Magnificat or on these other things, there's this tiny little line after the Magnificat that reads, "And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home." I mean, hearing of all the amazing things to come, hearing that God would be sending Jesus into the world and what that would mean, all of these things, Mary's first reaction is to be with someone. She doesn't, upon finding out all the Christmas things that'll be going on, she doesn't try to figure everything out. She doesn't schedule a baby shower and register for gifts. She doesn't try to sit down and understand the Christological implications of the incarnation. She doesn't sit down to do any theological homework. She doesn't decide what denomination she should be. She simply realizes that she needs to be with other people. who can enjoy the moment with her. She seeks to be with a faithful friend who is dear to her. And this is our invitation as well. Now, I want to make sure to point something out here. Just because Mary and Elizabeth happen to be cousins does not mean this is a sermon telling you you have to be with your biological family for Christmas. Though many people enjoy the company of extended family this time of year, for some, it's not possible anymore. And that's hard. For some, it's not a desire. For some, it's not a desire and you'll be with them anyway. But this is the holiday. Yeah, you picked up on that. But what Mary was looking for here wasn't simply someone biological. What Mary was looking for and found in Elizabeth was someone who could treasure the moment with her. Who could fully just say, yeah, I get this, and I love this, and I want to be with you. It reminds me of that line in Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. As we seek to be in the presence of God's love, one of the best ways to experience it is with others. But just going to a crowded mall won't do that. We are invited to look for a certain kind of person to be with. Faithful friends who are dear to us. Faithful friends. Now, this isn't just to say that you have to be with Methodists at Christmas, or you just have to be with Christians at Christmas. That's not the kind of faithful friends being spoken of, though, to be honest, I do enjoy being with Methodists at Christmas. We are invited to be with others who are faithful friends. Others who have faith in us. Who have faith in the power of relationship. Things that make them faithful friends. For when surrounded by people who believe in us and who believe in relationship, we are recreating the gift of Christmas. You see, what we learn about God at Christmas is that God believes in us and that God believes in relationship. In sending Jesus, God is declaring to the world that God has faith in humanity, that God has faith in our relationship with God. Have you considered that? Have you thought about God being a faithful friend who might draw near to us in this moment? Have you thought of God as one that believes in you and believes in the power of relationship? I mean, so often we speak of having faith in God, something we do, but I don't think we fully appreciate or take time to realize that God has faith in us. Part of the love we're invited to experience and be in the presence of at Christmas is the love that God has faith in us and asks us to gather near with God, to be in the divine moment, to just be together. This is part of why the light that arrives at Christmas, that's part of the light we're invited to carry in our hearts, is the light of love. You see, that is why when we gather together, we are recreating the gift that God gives, because when we gather together, we bring the light into each other's lives again. We bring that faithful friendship and the light of love. Just as Elizabeth's baby leapt for joy inside her at Mary's arrival, when we gather together to celebrate God's love, something happens to us as well. Our hearts and spirits are lifted by the presence of faithful friends. And so this day, as we bask in the light of the candle of love, you are invited to just be in that presence, to be in the presence of Christmas, and just be together right here and right now. And I hope that you will recognize that the glow of love in this room doesn't just come from a candle, but from the light of love in each and every heart in this room. For love has come down at Christmas, and it's something we are invited to share in together. Amen.